Okay, so if you remember, last time we learned, we encountered a Mishnah on Daf Tes that has a machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel about a sukkah yeshana. Beis Shammai says that an old sukkah is going to be pasul. Beis Hillel says an old sukkah is going to be kosher. And the basic idea, which we'll talk about tonight, is that the reasoning for Beis Shammai, the reason why an old sukkah is pasul, is because it's not made l'shem chag. Beis Shammai says that a sukkah has to be made l'shma. Right? Last week we spent some time discussing what exactly the word l'shma means by sukkah. But according to Beis Shammai, a sukkah has to be l'shma. That's Beis Shammai's shita. Beis Hillel disagrees, and Beis Hillel says that a sukkah need not be l'shma. That's basically the brief summary of the Mishnah. Last week we got involved in some details. Is that Beis Hillel denies Lishma entirely? Maybe Beis Hillel says that it also has to be somewhat Lishma, and that's the idea that Tosfos mentioned about being Mechadesh Badover, etc. That's like ancient history. That's like a week ago. So tonight I want to focus on the Gemara. Zok the Gemara. My time in the Beis Shammai. What's the reason for Beis Shammai who says that a sukkah yeshana is going to be puzzle? Zok the Gemara, Amar Kra Chag Hasukos Shivas Yomim LaHashem, Sukkah Asuya L'Shem Chag B'Inon. Right, so I make the sukkah LaHashem, and somehow LaHashem teaches me that it has to be for the Yontif. Anyone want to explain this to me? How does LaHashem teach me for the Yontif? I think Rachel was saying something, but she was muted.
Oh, yeah. That's when I speak to myself. I think it's La Hashem is saying exclusively for God and not for any other purposes of your humanly littleness.
So, right, it shouldn't be for any of my humanness and stuff like that. It's only for Hashem. And in this context, doing it for Hashem means Rashi comes with Shem Mitzvah, meaning a mitzvah is supposed to be done just because Hashem said so. And when I make a sukkah, according to Beis Shammai, it also should be just because Hashem said so. Ad kan, the end of the conversation. Now, Beis Hillel says, no, you can't learn from that pasuk of Chag HaSukkos LaHashem. There's a halacha that atzei sukkah is usur, meaning you are not allowed to benefit from the wood of the sukkah. And this is derived from the pasuk of Chag HaSukkos LaHashem, v'tanya Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira omer k'shem shechal Shem Shamayim HaChagiga, Kach Chal Shem Shamayim Al HaSukkah. Basically, it says that Sukkah is Chag LaHashem, and just like a Chagiga, just like a Korban, is Chal Shem Shamayim Al HaKorban, just like Chal Shem Shamayim Al HaChagiga, so also Chal Shem Shamayim Al HaSukkah. So we see, says Beis Hillel, that the Pasuk of LaHashem is already taken. The pasuk is already teaching me the fact that you can't get benefit from the sukkah. Beis Shammai says, "Yeah, enochanami, right? You use that pasuk of LaHashem to tell me that you can't get benefit from the sukkah. Rather, Beis Shammai learns it from a different pasuk of Chag HaSukkos Taser L'Choshevas Yomim. It has to be that a sukkah l'shem chag. We'll talk about this a little more in a few minutes, but." Basically, Beis Shammai says that I agree with you, that you're not allowed to benefit from the sukkah. That's from the Pasuk of LaHashem. The fact that a sukkah has to be made l'shem sukkah, and the sukkah yeshana is pasul, is derived from a Pasuk of Chag HaSukkos Taseh L'cha, right? That you should make the chag, right? Which means that you should make the sukkah l'shem chag. That's what Beis Shammai says. Okay, ad kan, relatively simple. So now, what I'd like to investigate first is this din of Keshem Shechal Shem Shamayim Al HaChagiga Kach chal shem shamayim al hasukkah. Right? A korban chagiga is hektish. Shem shamayim is chal on the chagiga. So it's also chal on the sukkah. This simple understanding of the Gemara is that a sukkah is hektish. There's kedusha on the sukkah, right? This fits in nicely with all the Kabbalistic ideas that the sukkah represents a continuation of Maimed Har Sinai, and the kedusha of Har Sinai comes into the sukkah. It's like a makom kadosh. Right, we don't have that many makomos kedoshim. Sukkah is one of them. So it could be that the idea is that the sukkah has kedusha, just like a carbon has kedusha, a sukkah has kedusha. That's the simple understanding of this din.
We did all those the ten tefachim with the kruvim and the aron, right. So it feels really.
There you go. The Gemara Daf Hey basically learns the dimension of a sukkah, the height of a sukkah. We learn because HaKadosh Baruch Hu never came down beneath 10, and Moshe, blah, 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 right? Like, very interesting Gemara. But, yeah, we see that we're learning, again, Tosfos over there comments that might not be about sukkah only. That halacha might be about mechitza in general. But certainly by sukkah, we could argue that there is a limud from the kapores, the kedusha of the aron and the kapores, absolutely. And that seems to be the simple way to understand our Gemara. Good? Now, if that's the case, so then our sugya is saying something that is very different than the regular halacha of huktzar mitzvaso. There's a halacha that if I have an item that I designate for a mitzvah, so that item can only be used for the mitzvah. For example, hadasim. No? Hadasim are designated to shake with the lulav. I'm not allowed to smell my hadas on Yantav. No matter how beautiful it smells, you're not allowed to because it's called huktzal mitzvaso, no? I am allowed to smell my esrog because the main purpose of an esrog is obviously to eat it. So you're not allowed to eat your esrog on Yantav, but you are allowed to smell your esrog. A hadas, where the main purpose is to smell it, so you're not allowed to smell your hadas on Yantiv. That's huktzal mitzvaso. The simple reading of Judaism is that huktzal mitzvaso is a different category, is a different, category than this halacha of chal shem shamayim ha-sukkah. In fact, we could argue that huktzal mitzvaso is another subcategory of muktza. Right? Muktza. Right? I remember as a kid, we used to like insult each other by calling each other muktza heads. Did any of you do this? It's like one of the worst insults in Judaism. Like if you're a muktza head. No idea what that means. But the basic idea is that muktza is a din derabbanan. All of muktza is a derabbanan category. And to some extent, that's what makes muktza so challenging, because there's like no psukim that lead to the halachos of muktza, and it seems to be like a whole bunch of assorted dinim. It's like really hard to get to the bottom of the iser muktza. Like, what is muktza? What's not muktza? What are the different categories of muktza? But no matter what I say, l'cha'ora, the din of muktza, of huktza l'mitzvaso, the halacha that I'm not allowed to smell my hadas, is a din d'rabbanan. But this din of Chal Shem Shamayim al Hasukkah is a din d'oraisa. Chal Shem Shamayim al Hasukkah means that just like min ha-taira, if I have an animal which is a carbon, I'm not allowed to benefit from that animal, no? I can't, like, take a ride on the animal because that's getting hana'a from the carbon. That's called mi'ila. That's, like, really bad. Don't try this in your own bathtub, right? That's the din of mi'ila. So the pashtus is that to get benefit from a sukkah is also a din of mi'ila. And that might mean both a chumrah and a kula. Let me explain. You know, when I talk about mukta in the drabonon form, so we said that the example is that I'm not allowed to smell a hadas, right? Am I allowed to smell hektish? I walk into the Beis HaMikdash and you see the, you walk in and the meat is burning on the Mizbeach. And I don't know about you, tonight I made like some chop meat and it smells pretty good when it's frying, no? Fried meat can smell good. Are you allowed to like breathe in deeply when you're in the Beis HaMikdash and enjoy the smell?
Try not to, I would say.
You would say that's like getting hana'ah from hektish, correct? That's what you would say. Okay. I would theoretically agree with you. The problem is that the Gemara tells me that mi'ila, right, this prohibition of getting hana'ah from hektish, zot the Gemara, it has to be a significant hana'ah. Kol, mar'eh, re'ach, ein bahem mishum mi'ila. If I just hear the beautiful sound in the Beis HaMikdash, the Leviim are singing, and you stand outside and you say, wow, gewaldic, it's so nice. And you hear, right, there's no Isser Mi'ila on that. Kol Mar'eh. You look at the Beis HaMikdash, it's beautiful. Now the Gemara, the Yinga Baba Basra tells us that if someone never saw the building of Hordos, of King Herod in the Beis HaMikdash, she never saw a beautiful building in his or her life, no? As I state in the Gemara, Bob Basra Daf Dalet. It's beautiful.
But you just...
Okay, thank you. So the Gemara tells me that Kol, Mar'eh, and Reyach, there's no din of Mi'ila. Meaning that Min HaTorah, right, there's no problem of smelling hektish. There's no problem of enjoying the beautiful look of the Beis HaMikdash, of enjoying the beautiful music. Kol Mar'eh Reyach is no mi'ila. So what's interesting is that there are two separate halachas that seem to be the same type of thing. Don't get benefit, right? Don't get benefit from your hadasim on sukkis, huktzo mitzvasai. Another halacha of don't get benefit is don't get benefit from your carbon, right? And by extension, don't get benefit from your sukkah. However, right, these two halachas are different. The halach of huktzol mitzvaso, again, I'm just explaining things at first glance. The halach of huktzol mitzvaso is eya dindrabonon, or muktzis dindrabonon. The halach of not getting benefit from a carbon is a dindoy raisa. That's difference one. Difference two is that for some reason the din d'rabbanan has a stringency that the din d'oraisa doesn't have. Right? For the din d'oraisa, you're allowed to smell it. Right? Enjoy. Inhale. Right? Against Bill Clinton. You're allowed to mamish inhale. Right? That's the din d'oraisa of mi'ila. But the din d'rabbanan of huksa mitzvaso, I can't smell the hadasim. So there are two distinct halachos. That is the pashtus in Judaism. Ms. Gutman.
Yeah, I just wanted to make sure I understood. understand. Are we saying that Beit Shammai is the Derabbanan kind of Huksa Amitzvaso?
Let's just go slowly. Both Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai agree that you cannot get benefit from your sukkah the same as you can't get benefit from a carbon chagiga.
So they're saying the same thing.
I didn't realize that.
I thought they were saying.
Everyone agrees. Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, my great aunt Sally, they all agree that you can't get benefit from the sukkah because Kishem Shechal, Shem Shammai al chagiga, Kachal, Shem Shammai al hasukkah. It's a din of a carbon. There's another halacha that you cannot get benefit from items which are mitzvah items, but these two halachos are distinct. That is normal Judaism, that these two halachos are completely distinct.
I guess then a follow-up question is, maybe I just don't know how to read it, but it sounds like they say different things, because like they present Beis Shammai, and then it says, oh, well, and Beis Hillel mentions the Chagiga part, but Beis Shammai doesn't talk about Chagiga.
Well, again, the Beis Hillel mentions the Chagiga part, and then the Gemara says, U Beis Shammai nami mi bayale lahachi. Right? The Gemara says that even Beis Shammai needs the pasuk of La Hashem to tell me I cannot get benefit from the sukkah, because a sukkah is like a carbon chagiga. Chag hasukkah stas halacha. It's like a carbon chagiga, right? So Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree. They all agree to that. But there's another halacha, a separate halacha of not smelling your hadas, which is a halacha called muktzah, which is not being addressed in our Gemara. Our Gemara is talking about a din de oraisa, not to get benefit from the sukkah, because a sukkah is like a carbon chagiga, but there's another separate din de rabbanon of items which are designated as mitzvah items. Good?
Yeah, thank you.
Now, the point that I am making is actually noted in Tosfos. Let's look at this Tosfos Minayan. Now, I think I assigned to you this Tosfos on the Maariv Mekomos, and I should have warned you that it's a hard Tosfos. But we'll do the best we can with it. Zok Tosfos. Minayan latzei sukkah shasurim kol shiva. Tosfos comments, mashma da asiri mida oraisa, udrasha gemura hi, mida parach v'hakra lahachi huda asa. Right? In other words, says Tosfos, it sounds like this is a din d'oraisa, and my proof is that the Gemara says, you need the pasuk for that, don't we need the pasuk for something else? Right? If it's a din d'rabbanan, that means that we're kind of using the pasuk as a pretext. We're not learning from the text. So the same pasuk could be a pretext for many different dinim. You wouldn't say, you used the pasuk already. Tosfos says the pashtus in our Gemara is that it's a din de oraisa. Not getting benefit from the sukkah is a din de oraisa. V'teima, frektais is akasha, de perakira mashma, shuhu midrabanan. The Gemara in Shabbos, in the third perek, says that huktzon mitzvaso is a din, says that benefiting from a sukkah is a din de rabanan, based on the terms that I used a few minutes ago called huktzon mitzvaso.
It specifically refers to sukkah, or it's talking about a scenario of hektish where you're in the Beis Hamikdash and you're smelling something.
So the Gemara is specifically talking about sukkah, right?
Okay.
Specifically about sukkah. Let's read Tosfos quotes the Gemara. Demaisi hasam raya direb shimin islay gabi neyar mitoch shehuktzal mitzvaso huktzal isuro. Right? The Gemara over then, again, it's a complicated muktzah sugya, but basically, Reb Shimon denies the concept of muktzah. Right? This is like one of the greatest kulas in Judaism. No, there's no such thing as muktzah. You know, one of the questions we always ask, like people in the process of conversion, is we ask them, what is mukta? Give me a few examples of something that's mukta. I have never once had a prospective convert say, mukta, what do you mean? Reb Shimon doesn't hold a mukta. I've never had it. Right? My guess is that if someone would say that, we'd say, go to the mikveh immediately. You win, right? Like, ding, ding, ding. That's my guess. But the Gemara is trying to prove that according to Reb Shimon, that Reb Shimon holds this category of huktzal mitzvaso, and they bring a proof, Reb Shimon matir, v'shavin b'sukkas hachag b'chag shehi asura. Basically, if I have a sukkah that's built, so on yontiv I'm not supposed to rip wood off of the sukkah, because that's the malach of soser. You're not allowed to destroy, you can't build, you can't destroy. Now, Reb Shimon says that it's not an iser of soser in that case, for whatever the reason. But everyone holds that sukkas hachag b'chag is usr, meaning on sukkas, you're not allowed to break wood off of your sukkah and use it as a toothpick. So the Gemara over there in Perakira, in the third Perak of Shabbos, the Gemara has a proof that Reb Shimon holds of mukta in the sense of this particular category of mukta. Even though Reb Shimon denies mukta in general, but this category of mukta called huktzal mitzvaso, Reb Shimon holds of. And the proof that Reb Shimon holds of this category called huktzal mitzvaso is from sukkah. So frek taisves, you see that it's a din derabbanan. Our Gemara says that the chal shem shemayim ala sukkah is a din d'oraisa. Taisus asks Akasha, but the Gemara in Shabbos, in the Mukta Sugyas, is saying that the reason you can't get benefit from the sukkah is because of the general iser of getting benefit from Mukta. So Tosis has this kasha. Not bad, no? The kasha is, which one is it? Is it in the Rais or is it in the Rabbanim? That's the contradiction that Tosis has. And again, there's some hard parts of the Tosfos to read, but basically, this is Tosfos's kasha. And Tosfos has two answers to this kasha. Two answers. Let's pick up the first answer, V'yesh Lomar. You see, it says Beitza Daf Lamed, so five lines beneath that, V'yesh Lomar, the end of the line of Tosfos. V'yesh Lomar. Tosus answers, the high the osir mid oraisa hainu ba oda kayames osir lito mimena eitzim. Avo mishanafla de butla mitzvasa lo asira ela midrabonon. Now, this is an interesting mahalach in Tosus. Tosus is saying that there's a din de oraisa that chal shem shamayim al hasukkah, but that din de oraisa is while it is a sukkah. Meaning when it is standing up and you have walls and schach, right? So then it's a din d'oraisa, you can't benefit from it. But once the sukkah fell down, so then you're allowed, min ha-Torah, you're allowed to take the wood of the sukkah and use it as a toothpick. But midrabanan, I can't because of huktzal mitzvaso, because it was designated as a mitzvah. While the item is up, there's a din d'oraisa. Once it falls, it is a din d'rabbanan. And Tosus then goes on and he says, it's a halacha that you're allowed to designate something as not being mukta. Right? I could, I can't say this nicely. So the question always is it better to say it or not to say it if you can't say it nicely? It's a hard question. But there are certain communities among Orthodox Jews where they designate rocks before Shabbos to throw at passing vehicles, no? You know what I'm talking about? Rocks on Shabbos are mukta. But these communities don't like it when people drive on their streets on Shabbos. So they throw rocks at them. You're not allowed to throw rocks on Shabbos, no? So they designate a rock and they say, this rack is now my Shmiras Shabbos protector, right? And then it's not mukta. There's a halacha you can designate something to make it not mukta. But I could designate my rack that it's a Shabbos rack, right? A lot of types of mukta you can be miyached.
On that, don't some people say that, is it true that some people say a rack is a chesron kiss?
Is a rack chesron kiss? Well,
no, not that machmas, like the rack itself is like so mukta.
So the rack itself is mukta machmas gufo, probably. It's a very high category of mukta.
Right. So I didn't think that you could designate that kind of thing away.
Even designate something that is mukta machmas gufo.
Oh, okay.
Mukta item designate, but designation only works if it's a mukta derabbanan item. If it is a d'oraisa category, for example, a sukkah, while the sukkah is standing, so designation doesn't help at all. But that's the point that Tosis makes in the next three lines. I can't designate something and say it's not mukta, because you see, within dinam d'rabbanan, I have wiggle room. I can say, well, you know, I don't want it to be mukta, and the rabbis might listen to me because it's din d'rabbanan. But when it comes to din d'oraisa, so Hashem says, Chal Shem Shamayim, Hashem says it's a carbon. But what are you going to do? You're going to designate, no, it's not? Doesn't matter, right? Hashem says it's a sukkah, it has kedushas carbon, so therefore you can't benefit from it. Ad kan. So Tosis's first approach, okay, just to review, is when I say there's a din d'oraisa, that the sukkah, you may not benefit from the sukkah, it's like a carbon, that means while it's standing. Once it fell down, so then I only remain with the din d'rabbanan that it's hukta l'mitzvah, so, and because it's only a din d'rabbanan, so therefore you can condition your way out of that mukta. That is Tosis explanation one. In this Tosis, it's really cool because there are like three levels of lines. There's skinny, medium wide, and very wide. So the last medium wide line, right? V'rabbeinu tam mefarish, de'etzim shel kedei hechsher sukkah chayla kedusha alayhu v'asir midoy raisa, avha yosem mekdei hechsher lo mitzri elo midrabonon. Right? Anyone want to explain to me the Rabbeinu Tam's answer? Remember, same question. When I say you can't benefit from the sukkah, is that a din d'oraisa or is it a din d'rabbanan? So one answer in Tosis is when the sukkah's up, it's a din d'oraisa. Once London Bridge came falling down, so then it's a din d'rabbanan. Right? That's the first answer of Tosis. Rabbeinu Tam has a different mahalach. What's Rabbeinu Tam saying?
We had understood it to mean if it's like the fourth wall of the sukkah and it's not integral to making it a kosher sukkah, then that would be derabbanan.
Nachon, excellent, right? Rabbeinu Tam says the chal shem shamayim al sukkah is only on the d'oraisa necessary parts of the sukkah, which is two walls, right? How do we draw the picture? Two complete walls and the third wall, which is a tefach, right? That is when Chal Shem Shamayim, it's on the necessary part of the sukkah. But the extra parts of the sukkah, right, the fourth wall, or maybe even a chunk of the third wall, right? So that is not necessary to be a sukkah min ha-Torah. Therefore, Shem Shamayim is not chal on that, and therefore that part of the sukkah is only Asur Midrabbanan to benefit from. Now, did any of you have a chance to look at the Rush? Okay. Oh, you guys mamish prepared. You see, when I sent out the Makoros on Monday, good, Yashin Koach. So, do you want to tell me what the Rush said, Rachel, or should I spill the beans?
So he distinguished between atzei defanot and atzei slach.
Nechon.
I believe, unless I'm reversing it, that atzei slach would be a din d'oraita, and atzei defanot would just be d'rabanan.
95%. The Rush discusses this halacha in its entirety. The halacha that you can't get benefit from the sukkah. Zach the Rush, in his opinion, it only applies to the schach of the sukkah. You are allowed to get benefit from the walls of the sukkah, just not from the schach of the sukkah. As opposed to the Rambam's position, that the Rush in the last line over there quotes from the Rambam, that the Rambam says you are not allowed to get benefit from the walls of the sukkah also. It's an interesting question, no? When I speak about the kedusha of a sukkah, so the Rambam and the Rush are disagreeing on a fundamental level. The Rush holds the kedusha of the sukkah is only on the schach. The Rambam says the kedusha of the sukkah is even on the walls. Did I tell you about this? Now, there's a discussion in some of the Hasidic Sfarim. The Gemara in the Ksuba says that when you go to Eretz Yisrael, Reb Abba have a Menashe Kipi Da'ako, that when Reb Abba went to Eretz Yisrael the first time, he ended up in Akko and he kissed the ground. There's a minag of Yisrael that, like, when you go to Eretz Yisrael, you kiss the ground. There's Kedusha on the ground. Very beautiful minhag. The Hasidic Rebbes and the Hasidic Sfarim discuss, should you kiss the ground of the sukkah when you go into the sukkah? Is there kedusha on the ground of the sukkah? Now, we could analyze that question. According to the Rush, what would be the halacha? Is there kedusha on the ground of the sukkah? Of course not, right? The Rush says it's only kedusha on the schach of the sukkah. What about according to the Rambam? Is there kedusha on the ground of the sukkah? Is the ground a wall? It's interesting, by the way, because if you learn sukkos from the Anane HaKavod, right, so I think the Midrashim say that the Anane HaKavod, there was like, I think Rashi quotes the Sal HaTaira, that there was like one cloud on the ground that like flattened out all of the hills, etc. So they are within like a six-sided figure. So that would mean that there's Kedusha on the ground also. But normally when we think of Defanos, we don't think of the ground. But Bekitzer, Machlokes Rush and Rambam. When I say that there's Kedusha on the sukkah, is that only on the schach, or is that even on the walls? Ladies, what about the Rabbeinu Tam? Does the Rabbeinu Tam agree with the Rush or the Rambam? Sima, you've been quiet so far tonight. I'm going to put you on the spot.
When we were reading it, I was kind of thinking that the Rabbeinu Tam left it vague. Like it was unclear if he was going via the Rush or the Rambam, but maybe he's more specific and I just missed it. But
explain yourself. You might be saying something. I mean, you're definitely saying something. You might be saying something.
It sounded like the Rush felt the need to explain what Rabbeinu Tam was saying, and he was saying not like the Rambam. So he didn't. I don't know. He seemed to be explaining the Rabbeinu Tam as in, like, you might not have understood this immediately on your own, but let me clarify for you. So that's where I got that from. I didn't get it from Rabbeinu Tam himself. I guess I didn't read it.
You're not getting it from the Tosfos. That's interesting. In other words, you're reading the entire Rush. I didn't even think of this. That the Rush is like a flow. First, the Rush quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, and then the Rush says, well, it's only true on the schach against the Rambam.
Yeah. So, why would he? Right. He felt the need to clarify because Rabbeinu Tam maybe wasn't clear.
So, push comes to shove. Is the Rabbeinu Tam more like the Rush or more like the Rambam?
I don't know. He keeps using the word eitzim. So I would go with the Rambam just because walls are eitzim, but I'm not really sure.
Eitzim Shavshe Sukkah could mean the walls, which are made out of wood, or it could mean the schach, which is made out of wood. The normal understanding is that the Rabbeinu Tam is like the Rambam, because the Rabbeinu Tam says that there's Kedusha only on the two walls with that little bit, right? You get an impression that we're talking about the walls. The Rush will have to interpret the Rabbeinu Tam like in Yiddish. The Rush will have to say that what the Rabbeinu Tam means is that the schach on top of that two walls with a little bit, that schach has Kedusha. Right, which is, no, it's not, I'd say, a straightforward read. Okay. So now, Chevra, we're at a point as follows. Tosfos had a lengthy discussion about the fact that we have two discrete categories. One category is a din d'oraisa of chal shem shamayim. And then there's another category, which is a din d'rabbanan of huktzal mitzvaso. And why do I need both categories? So Tosfos has two suggestions, right? One when it's standing as opposed to when it's fell. The second suggestion is the ikar sukkah versus the fourth wall, right? That's the Tosfos. And then we try to plug that in to the other discussion. Fine. Does Rashi agree with Tosfos or disagree with Tosfos? I'm referring specifically to the Rashi that Reb Kiva Eger quotes on the side of the page. Did I give you this source? The Goyan HaShas Reb Kiva Eger? I think I did, right?
Yeah, but I don't think I understood. We were supposed to look up Daf Lamed Zion.
Yeah, no, let's look at the Rashi on Lamed Zion on Beis Diba Maskel. Let's do that now. Let's go to Lamed Zion on Beis, the Rashi Diba Maskel Osor Lahariach. Let's find the Rashi. I have this old Gemara that doesn't have the bold Rashis. Did anyone find this Rashi? Lamed Zayin, Dibar Maskel.
It's like the top third of the page. And if you have the Gileon Hashas in the inside, it's kind of parallel a little bit to that. It's Asur Lahariachbo, right?
Yeah, that's where it's supposed to be. Asur Lahariachbo, good. I checked it off in my Gemara. Look at that. Asur Lahariachbo, well, you can't see. But Asur Lahariachbo, says Rashi, how come I'm not allowed to smell the hadas? Digarinan misuka. Tialfin parakama the chaoshim shama ate suka le osibahana a ko shiva hova huksala mitzvah. So what's Rashi saying? Rashi is saying that I completely disagree with this entire tesis. No? Tosis is saying that there are two discrete categories. There's a din d'oraisa of chaoshim shamayim, and then there's a din d'rabbanan of huksala mitzvaso. Rashi on Lamed Zayin that Reb Kiva Eger references, Rashi is saying that the halacha of huktzal mitzvaso, the halacha that I'm not allowed to smell my hadas, is gamrinan misuka. We learn that from sukkah. Right, so Rashi is saying, unbelievable, right? Rashi is saying that there is only one category. The halacha of huktzal mitzvaso is exactly the category of Chal Shem Shema Ala Sukkah. The din that you can't benefit from a sukkah. It's not because of this whole razzle-dazzle Kabbalah idea that the sukkah has kedusha and it's like a karban. No, Rashi says, forget it. Sukkah is a mitzvah. Plain, ordinary mitzvah. And hadas is a mitzvah. And I see that you can't get benefit from a mitzvah. That's what Rashi is saying. Nothing fancy. Or
Yeah, but it's a brisa. The whole analogy of the chagiga is a brisa. So I feel like even if Rashi there is talking about it, he can't be rejecting the analogy. Rashi's
not rejecting the brisa, but Rashi's saying that the brisa is teaching me the halacha that items which are for mitzvah purposes, you should not use.
And just the idiom of the brisa is chal shem shemayim, but that's all.
Exactly. It doesn't mean that the sukkah falls under the category of hektish. It's just, I like the way you said, it's just an idiomatic expression. Yeah, there's kedusha, don't use it, something like that. But it doesn't mean it's really hektish.
I remember, and I'm sorry I don't remember, I should be Maver Sedra more often, but I remember in Vayikra when it was talking about different animals that were brought, there were like extra words, and one of the Rashis there used the word huktza or muktza to refer to animals for karbanos. And I wasn't going to mention it, but it's been bothering me all along. And the reason why...
The muktza by karbanos means a different thing. There's a din of muktza and ne'evad, which you can't bring a carbon. Ne'evad means an animal that someone worshipped as avodah zarah.
Right.
A muktza means an animal that was designated as avodah zarah. Even though usually...
it's avodah zarah. Okay, sorry. I knew I didn't remember it. Sorry.
You can't bring a carbon. There's like all these halachos that like certain animals, you can't bring an anzona as a carbon.
Yeah.
Right? You can't bring... whatever. Okay, you can't bring an esnanzon as a carbon. You can't bring muktza, ne'eva. These are all forbidden types of karbanos. It's the word muktza means different things in different places. But what Rashi is telling me is that this category of muktza, meaning an item that's designated for a mitzvah, is derived from the halacha of sukkah. It's not a separate din. Right? Taisa says huksan mitzvah is a separate din than mukta. Huksan mitzvah is a separate din than the kedusha of a sukkah. That's Taisa. Rashi says the halach of kedusha on a sukkah is the source of huksan mitzvah. So you get an impression it's one and the same. Now, let's read a Rashi together. This is something that I don't expect anyone to have picked up on, but let's read the second Rashi in the Gemara. The Rashi says, Al HaChagiga. The Shem Shemai Mischal Al HaChagiga. You see the Rashi? On Tesamar Aleph. Al HaChagiga. Zakt Rashi. Shalmech Chagiga Shem Shemayim Chal Aleihem. Right? Shalmei Chagiga means the carbon shlomim that you bring when you oilel a regel. So, Shem Shamayim is chal on those carbon shlomim. La osran, to say it's osir, ad la achar haktaras emurin. Until after you burn the limbs that go on the mizbeach. Dizachu behu, basa hachi mishochan gavoa, after you burn the limbs, so then you are able to use it like a servant who gets reward from the master. Once you do what you had to do with the carbon, meaning once you burn the limbs on the mizbeach, so then you're allowed to get benefit from it. You could eat the animal because you did what you have to do, because you did the mitzvah, zachu behu basar hachi mishulchan gavoa ke'ever anotel pras. Right? Don't ask Akasha, how can you eat a carbon? The halacha is you can't get benefit from hektish. The answer is after the animal is burned, you're able to eat the carbon because just like a servant gets reward after the servant does his job, so after you do your job of burning the limbs on the mizbeach, you can eat the carbon. Right? That's what Rashi says. Now, what Rashi is saying is actually interesting, because if I'm dealing with the illicit benefit from Hekdesh, if I'm dealing with the prohibition of Mi'ila, so Mi'ila is no longer Shayich after Zrikas Hadam. Once you take the blood of the carbon and you sprinkle it on the Mizbeach, right? Kachem Kalem, right? You could shecht anywhere in the Azara, right? And the blood is requires Shtei Matane Shahin Arba, right? That you put on the two corners and it goes on all four, etc. There is no more Isser Mi'ila after Zrikas Hadam. But Rashi does not say that. Rashi says you can benefit from the carbon, you can eat the carbon after you burned the limbs on the Mizbeach, which is a later stage than sprinkling the blood. So you first sprinkle the blood, right? And then there's a whole process, you cut the animal up, etc., you put the limbs on the Mizbeach and you burn it. Rashi is only saying that you can benefit after you burn the limbs. And that is probably because Rashi is being consistent. Again, this is Judaism according to me. So if you don't like it, fine. Sometimes I like to say my own chedushim. But it seems to me that Rashi is saying, Rashi is not saying the regular halacha of Mi'ila, the regular halacha that you can't get benefit from a carbon, because the regular halacha of Mi'ila is relaxed once you sprinkle the blood. But Rashi is telling me that over here, I'm not dealing with the regular halacha of Mi'ila. I'm dealing with a different halacha, the halacha of not benefiting from a carbon until you do the mitzvah. There's a mitzvah of burning the limbs on the Mizbeach. Rashi holds that when I talk about not benefiting from a carbon, it's the same as not benefiting from an item that's designated for a mitzvah. A carbon is also designated for a mitzvah. Even after Mi'ila has gone poof, no more Mi'ila, but still the animal is designated for a mitzvah and you can't get benefit until after Haktaras Ha'emurin. That's what Rashi is saying. Right, so Rashi is basically, with this little line in Rashi, I would say, Rashi is alluding to the point he makes on Daf Lamed Zayin, which is that the halacha of Huktzel Mitzvaso is identical to the halacha mentioned in Ar Gemara, and Ar Gemara is not talking about Mi'ila. Ar Gemara is not talking about the regular Isser of getting Hana'a from Hekdesh. Our Gemara is talking about a new, separate, distinct iser of not benefiting from a carbon until the mitzvah of the carbon is done. Ms. Gutman, you look perplexed.
Is this, then, is Rashi, is he not saying Huxal Mitzvaso? Can he not be saying Huxal Mitzvaso is just, now it's no longer used for the mitzvah? Can he, like, be adding to it?
Again,
meaning, I guess, like, the idea of the way I understand Huxal Mitzvaso, it's set aside for the mitzvah. But once you do the mitzvah, maybe Rashi's suggesting it's no longer, it, like, loses its status of Huxal. Oh, okay. So he does hold of Huxal.
The mitzvah is done, it lost its status. Now, Hadassim, the reason why it's usher is because the mitzvah is not done, right? I could shake the lulav again and again and again, right? The mitzvah is not done. The item is still mitzvah-oriented until the very end of Sukkos, right? Even though I maybe shook the lulav and used the hadass this morning, but it still is a kosher hadass that can be used. But once you burn the limbs on the Mizbeach, the mitzvah is gone. The idea that Rashi is making is, the point that Rashi is making is that the halacha in Ar Gemara, the halacha of Chal Shem Shamayim al Hasukah, is a halacha of that an item that's designated for a mitzvah, you can't get benefit from. It's the same exact idea. And even in carbon, I'm not talking about the iser of mi'ilah, I'm talking about the mitzvah part of the carbon, which is until you burn the limbs on the mizbeach, you still have a mitzvah that can be done. That's what I'm trying to.
And is it all still derabanan?
I would say derabanan, but in other words, there's no more mi'ilah once the blood is sprinkled, but there still is an iser derabanan to benefit from the carbon until you burn the limbs on the mizbeach.
Okay, thank you.
I'm totally hearing you about the mitzvah. I'm reading this Rashi so much more literally that the Haktaras Emurin are the part of the Shlamim that's for Hashem. So it's La Hashem. Like, I thought it was cute when Rashi says Chag stands for Chagiga. So Chag La Hashem, Hashem has to consume the part of the Shlamim that's for Hashem. Oh. So even though I understand what you're saying about the Zrikas Hadam is the point where it's not Me'ilah, it's like Hashem eats Kavyachal, Hashem's part, and then you can have your part.
Hashem, this is like Kavyachal, like you said, like what Hashem eats. Maybe, again, I don't think what you're saying is arguing on what I'm saying. It's like, it's just different. It's a more literary approach to reading this Gemara with the Rashi. I think that's fine. Yeah, it certainly is possible. Okay, let's talk about one other thing. There's a famous Rashba on Daf Lamed and Beitza. And he references it over here in Daf Ches, or it comes up over here in some of the Rishonim Daf Ches in Sukkah. Do you remember the Sukkah's Ganbach? Sukkah's Ganbach and Rakbash. Remember this? Right? So the Sukkah that's built by Goyim and Noshim and the Kusim, etc. Right? Sukkah that's built by people who don't have a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah. That's sukkah's ganbach. The Rashba writes that the halacha of chal shem shamayim al hasukkah, the din that you cannot get benefit from the sukkah, zok the Rashba, that only applies to a sukkah that was built by someone who has a full-fledged mitzvah of sukkah. But sukkah's ganbach, we do not say chal shem shamayim al hasukkah. That's what the Rashba says. Sukkah's ganbach, we don't say chal shem shamayim. This, by the way, is a chumrah that many people have. I remember when I used to be a shul rabbi, so the super of the shul would build the shul sukkah. I think that's the way it works in many places, no? That the super goes and he builds the sukkah. And there were people in the shul always, actually one fellow, he was a really wonderful man. He was nifter a couple of years ago. He always used to go and lift up the pieces of schach, right? Why is he doing that? He was doing it in order to make it a Jewish built sukkah. Because according to the Rashba, so long as the sukkah was built by a goy, the Shem Shamayim is not chal on the sukkah. And if you want the sukkah to be a full-fledged sukkah, so the Jew has to build it. So he would lift up the pieces of schach to make it like it's a sukkah of a Jew. That's what he did. That's what the Rashba says. Ladies, is the Rashba closer to Rashi or closer to Tysus? Rachel?
I would guess Tosfot.
Okay.
Because Tosfot thinks that both Isserim relating to Hekdesh and relating to Huxel L'mitzvah are applicable, depending on the different scenario, but acknowledges prohibitions relating to both. When Rashi doesn't really seem to think that prohibitions caused by Hekdesh are applicable. because the Rashba is acknowledging, you know, a potential for the Hekdesh prohibition to fit in, to kick in, then that would be more in line with Tosfot.
In other words, the Rashba is saying that there's a halacha of Chal Shem Shamayim, but I think Tanya made the point a few minutes ago, everyone has to hold that there's a halacha of Chal Shem Shamayim. The Gemara says it. Right? The question is, how do I understand that halacha? Do I understand that halacha that it's a special hektish halacha? Or do I understand that halacha is just based on the regular dinim of something that's designated for a mitzvah? Now, everyone holds that there is a din that Shem Shemayim is chal on a sukkah. The question is, why? Pachimu. Right? Is the Shem Shemayim chal on the sukkah because the sukkah is like a korban? Or is the Shem Shemayim chal on the sukkah because the sukkah is a mitzvah? Now, let's just go back for a second. I mean, you were thinking along the right lines, but I'm going to say what you were saying, Rachel, and just spin it differently, or in the opposite direction. I'll spin it in the opposite direction. What's deficient about Sukkos Ganbach? What's deficient about Sukkos Ganbach, the Gemara tells me in Daf Ches, is Lav B'nei Chiyuvan Enhu, no? The people build the sukkah don't have a mitzvah to sit in the sukkah. The Rashba tells me, because they don't have a mitzvah, so therefore the prohibition of getting benefit from the sukkah doesn't apply. Read, now according to the Rashba, the prohibition to get benefit from a sukkah is a subcategory of an item that is designated for a mitzvah. But if the item's mitzvahness is deficient because it was built by people who do not have an obligation, so if the mitzvahness is deficient, so the Rashba says, then the prohibition doesn't apply. I would argue that the Rashba is in line with Rashi, not in line with Tosfos. You see, according to Tosfos, Kedusha sets on a sukkah because a sukkah is like a carbon. One could argue that any sukkah in the world is like a carbon. Even a sukkah is ganbach. Right? Is it a sukkah? It's not a sukkah. If it's a sukkah, it's like a carbon. That's what Tosfos would say. But that's not the Rashba. The Rashba is saying that the only reason you can't get benefit from a sukkah is because it's a mitzvah. And when you have people who are not mechuyav in the mitzvah of sukkah, so then the sukkah that they construct is deficient and it's not chal shem shamayim on their sukkah. So this Rashba, I'd argue, is the same as Rashi. I don't know why, Rachel, whenever I look at you, you seem to be confused. So I'm going to
ask. It's just my face. Don't.
Are you particularly?
I do have a question, though, because I guess I still find it hard to see how the Rashba's comment has anything to do with the discussion of Tosfos and Rashi. His is like, I see it so much on just viewing the discussion that's in the Gemara very differently of life. Very, either it's a discussion on the sukkah or on the person who's chiyuv, but because Rashi and Tosfos are like talking about the sukkah the whole time, like I feel like they could go either way about their idea of the way that they view the person who's making a sukkah with a chiyuv.
Let's go slowly. The Gemara tells me on Chesamid Beis that the deficiency in the Sukkos Ganbach is that there's no, the people who built it are not B'nai Chiyuva, right? That would seem to mean, it seems to me, that what that means is that there's something deficient in their mitzvah because they're not obligated. And therefore, the Rashba says, we do not apply the rule of Chal Shem Shamayim on it. Meaning, the Pashtus in the Rashba is the Chal Shem Shamayim is based on the fact that this is a mitzvah item. Which I think...
Great. I guess I don't understand the Rashba at all, because it's a kosher sukkah.
Yeah.
So like, why wouldn't it hold all the... like?
So I think what the Rashba is saying is, it's a kosher sukkah, but it's like a kosher b'dieved sukkah. And because the sukkah is only kosher b'dieved, so therefore, the chumrah of Chal Shem Shamayim does not apply to the sukkah, because it's only kosher b'dieved. Again, within the world of Tosfos, we'd have to analyze this in a more complicated way. You know, there are halachos, maybe Tanya was referring to this. Rashi tells us, being in Parshas Vayikra, that ish ki yidar, that nochrim goyim are makdish karbanos also, no? A goy is allowed to... So what's the status of a karban that a goy designates? Does it have the full kedushas hakarban or not? That is a large topic in Shas. The first daf of Temura is about that topic. About muktashe akum, whether yesh behem misham me'ila and yesh behem misham Temura, is the sugyan daf Beis and Temura. So it is possible to fit the Rashba in to the Tosfos, but coming off of our Gemara, that tells me that Sukkos Ganbach is deficient because of Lav B'nei Chiyuva, so it sounds much more like Rashi, as opposed to saying that it's like a deficient carbon. The term carbon, like, which Tosfos brings out from our Gemara, and it makes a lot of sense, but I don't think it's an easy read of the Rashba. Okay, ladies.
One clarifying question that I'm sure you made clear, but I just got fuzzy on. It seems to me, and maybe I'm wrong, am I right that the distinction between Midrabanan and D'oraisa only exist in the universe of Tosfos, but Rashi does treat it D'oraisa?
Well, Rashi either treats them both as D'oraisa or Rashi treats them both as D'rabanan, but Rashi treats them the same.
Well, then wouldn't you have the Tosfos' problem of like, it's a Drasha Gemara, it seems like it's totally D'oraisa.
Apparently Rashi is going to say, it's not a Drasha Gemara. I don't know exactly how Rashi answered Tosfos' kasha. Tosfos tries to prove from our Gemara it's a Drasha Gemara. Obviously, Rashi is disagreeing with that. We did not get into that detail as to how Rashi would answer that point of Tosfos. That you're right about. Okay. So, ladies, I want to wish you a Ksiva Vachasima Tova, a good Kibbeng Shtiar. This is one of those years, I think, that we could honestly say that it should be Tich Lashana V'Kil Loseha, that this has been quite a whopper of a year. And, you know, we hope that Tachel Shana B'Yerchoseha, that the new year will begin, and we'll have brachos for ourselves, for our families, for our own growth in Talmud Torah and Yer HaShemayim, and it should be a wonderful year, Tav Shin Pei Aleph HaBalim L'Tova. So the next year that we will have will be in Tav Shin Pei Aleph, Im Yirtzeh Hashem. The Chevra is able to learn during Asar Simei Tshuva. And sometimes people are so busy doing Tshuva, there's no time for Torah. But okay, excellent. Okay, so have a good night. Kol Tov.
Rabbi Schwartz.
Yes.
So just on, before I said the comment, and I don't understand the Rashba, why can't both the Tosfos and the Rashi disagree with the Rashba completely, and not why are we assuming that one of them has to hold his premise?
They could disagree with the Rashba, but
the question is, what is the Rashba?
The Rashba, I would suggest that the Rashba is agreeing with Rashi. I'm not saying that Rashi agrees with the Rashba.
Oh, okay. Okay.
That's trying to say it, right? Not, it doesn't always work both ways. Halachic equation, I think in mathematics, right? Equations go both ways. Like if A equals B, so B equals A. It doesn't work like that in halacha. Okay.
Okay, wait, another question is there a big Achdus award, the fact that Hillel, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai agree? Or we just ignore that. Isn't that a big deal?
Yeah, it's a big deal. I mean, the thing is, they're agreeing at this stage in the Gemara, they're agreeing about that one halacha.
Okay,
the funny thing about Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai is lahavdil, it's chasidim and misnagdim, no? It's not such a big deal if they agree. They agree on 98% of Judaism. Chassidim, misnagdim, all keep kosher. And they all blow shofar in Rosh Hashanah. There's a few details that they disagree about. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, ultimately, they agree on the Ikari Ha'emuna. They agree on, we think of it they disagree with everything. Yeah, no, they agree. Yeah, so they both agree the Chashim Shmaya Sukkah. But not such a big deal. Okay, Chavra. Okay. Good
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.